I want to first start out by saying it's a great honor and privilege to be here, and thank you so much to Pastor Menez and Verity Baptist Church and all the staff here. This is a big conference, and I know a lot of work goes into it, and it seems like such a polished event every time we come. The music is great, and everything is wonderful, and I wouldn't expect it to be cool in here because it's the Red Hot Preaching Conference, okay? So you don't have to apologize about that. I do have to give a couple warnings, though, before I start preaching tonight. First of all, no one told me a time limit, so just FYI. And no one said there was any words that I couldn't use. So just, I'm going to go ahead and give that warning right now, all right? But look, if you would, at verse number 8 here in Revelation chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." And the title of the sermon this evening is The Synagogue of Satan, The Synagogue of Satan. I don't think a lot of churches are preaching on who the synagogue of Satan is anymore. And it's a topic that's brought up by Jesus Christ himself. I often hear this, "Why don't you preach what Jesus said?" So I thought about it. Well, here's something Jesus said here in the book of Revelation. Well, New Testament. How much more New Testament is the book of Revelation? Let's go ahead and talk about the synagogue of Satan. And notice that they say they're something, but they're really not. The group that claims to be Jews are not really Jews according to the New Testament. They're really the synagogue of Satan. Now, I don't even have to try and convince you what group this is because they already told us. They're telling us that they're Jews, but according to the scripture, they're not. They're really the synagogue of Satan. So that means there has to be a group in this world that claims to be a Jew, but's not really a Jew, but is really the synagogue of Satan. And let me give you the secret. It's the Jews. Now, flip the page, just look at chapter 3, look at verse number 9. Not only did Jesus talk about this one time, he brought it up again in Revelation chapter number 3, look at verse number 9. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews," but notice this, "and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." So he's telling a bunch of Gentile churches in the book of Revelation, I want you to understand that the people calling themselves Jews are not my people. They're not Christians. They're not God's chosen. They're really the synagogue of Satan. In fact, you guys are the chosen. You guys are the real Jews, as clearly evidenced in the book of Romans chapter number 2. Because a Jew is not an outward thing, it's an inward thing. And God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't really care what you look like. He doesn't really care who your parents are. That's all superfluous. That has no real meaning when it comes to eternal value or really value in any kind of sense. And when we talk about Jews in the Bible, we're talking about it from a spiritual perspective. You know, a lot of people would say, "Oh, this sermon sounds like a really anti-Semitic sermon." But here's the thing. I don't hate Semitic people. In fact, I have one of them that goes to my church. Is one of my good friends, Ben. Okay? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with Ben. I like Ben. But you know what? Ben has a good religion. Ben doesn't have a practice of Judaism or Islam. And really, that's what's wrong with a lot of these people of the Semitic nationality or heritage, whatever you want to label that as. You know, it's not really that their parents are just sinners because of their skin color or because of the country they live in, but it's really their ideology, it's their false religion that's the problem. And when we talk about a group of people here in the book of Revelation, we're not talking about a physical descent, we're talking about a religion. Think about the author of the book of Revelation. Now, of course, we realize that it's authored by the Lord Jesus Christ, handed down by a servant, but from a human perspective, isn't it John? Now, isn't John of the children of Israel? Isn't John just as much as a Jew or a Jewish of all these other people? Now, I don't exactly what his tribe you know, coming down to, but he's of the children of Israel. He's not hating on one other tribe. No, he's saying, look, I don't like this false religion. I don't like the synagogue of Satan, and he's not of the synagogue of Satan. Now, it took him a while to get there, but when he's on an aisle thinking by himself, he finally figured it out. Now, hopefully, you don't have to go to an island by yourself to figure this out. We're going to study the Bible and figure it out together. Go to 1 John chapter 2. You don't have to go far. Just go back a few pages. 1 John chapter number 2. And I have 4 points for you this evening to think about. And my first point is this. The synagogue of Satan, the reason why the Jews are the synagogue of Satan is because they are Jesus denying. They are Jesus denying, okay? And that is really the only point that you need to know to have nothing to do with a group of people. As soon as you recognize a group of people as being anti-Christ, as being against Jesus Christ, as hating the Lord Jesus Christ, and being rebellion to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not a group of people that Christians should have fellowship with. I'm not going to have fellowship with the devil. I'm not going to have fellowship with an infidel. I'm not going to have fellowship with the temple of idols or here a temple of the devil, the synagogue of Satan, literally. Why would I want to have fellowship with such a group? Look what the Bible clearly says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So if anyone denies the Lord Jesus Christ, if anyone rejects the Son, they don't have God in any shape or form or fashion. They don't have like 50% of God, and they're just missing 50% or a tag on or 33% or any percent. Here's the percentage, 100%. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything, according to the Bible. And, you know, a lot of Christians these days want to try and say, oh, well, those that are Jews, they have half the Bible. You know, they have the Old Testament. No, they don't have any of it. They don't believe any of it. And they're Jesus denying, because here's the thing you have to understand about the Bible, okay? Let me give you a little secret. Jesus is the Bible. So you can't say, I don't want Jesus, but I want the Old Testament, because Jesus is the Old Testament. It's a package deal. You know, that's why Jesus rebuked the Jews by saying, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. I mean, there's no way to accept any part of the Bible and reject Jesus at the same time. That's a contradiction. It's literally impossible. To accept Christ is to accept the Bible. To accept the Bible is to accept Christ. It's a package deal. And of course, it goes beyond that, because if you're accepting Jesus Christ, the words of God, then you're accepting the Father's words. Therefore, you can't have just one. You got to take it all. To have the Son is to have the Father. In fact, it's pretty difficult to explain to someone how you could have a son without a father. Whose son is he? Is a real logical question that you would ask with that question. And we recognize that he's the Son of God, because we have God the Father and we have the Son of God. Now, this is what separates virtually all religions that even have any kind of claim to Christianity, the Abrahamic religions, is the deity of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is and who the Father is. And these are very important foundational doctrines that are supposed to divide us. We're not supposed to link up and unify with people that are denying Jesus Christ, that don't want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Look back one verse from what we read, verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So when John is reminding them in 1 John chapter number 2, he's saying, look, guys, I'm not really telling you something that you don't already know. You already know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. You already know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You already know about God the Father. You already realize salvation is by faith in his blood. I'm telling you, why in the world then are you having fellowship with people that are denying that? Why would you want to have anything to do with a person that would deny those foundational doctrines, those that have been the cornerstone of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we can't get away from what makes us Christian. What is it to be Christian, to be like Christ? How can you have Christian without Christ? It's literally impossible. It is the starting and ending point of everything that's our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Now, I say that, but then you see a lot of Christians today, you know, talking about people that they like to listen to or they like to hear from or they're interested in, like Ben Shapiro from The Daily Wire. And even Ben Shapiro himself, he kind of has built a platform. He's built some kind of an organization. And many of the people that are a part of his organization are so-called Christians. Now, of course, they're like Catholic or whatever. I don't even know what Jordan Peterson is. He's just a weirdo. But, you know, how can these Catholics have anything to do with Jews? I mean, have they not read history? I mean, even, of course, we understand that a Catholic's not saved, but we're talking about just the foundation that's here. We're just talking about the baby doctrine. We're talking about easy doctrine. Hey, you deny Christ, I'm not going to be your buddy. How can these Christians have this fellowship with these Jews? Let me tell you something. They forgot who the synagogue of Satan was. No one's getting up and preaching about the synagogue of Satan anymore, and really, because you can't even do it or you'll get banned. Notice that there's a big emphasis when you show up here. Get on the email list, the banned but not bound email list. You know, get on these other email lists. I mean, it's hard to get out on YouTube or whatever platforms are out there anymore. Why? Because they don't want the truth to get out there. Now, go if we would to Acts chapter 15 for a moment. Go to Acts chapter number 15. I watched a short little interview one time on YouTube of Ben Shapiro. He's talking with a guy named Jordan Peterson, and it was on a show called The Rubin Report or something. So you got a fag, a Jew, and an almost Catholic, okay? Basically an unholy trinity. I mean, if you could ever have one. And they're going to tell us what Christianity is. Well, here's the bad thing. Here's the honest thing. The Catholic didn't know what Christianity was. The Sodomite certainly didn't know. And the Jew knew exactly, though. That's because they're the synagogue of Satan. Let me just give you what Ben Shapiro said. Ben Shapiro said the main distinction between Christianity, and he's talking about between Christianity and Judaism, that people usually make is that Christianity is a grace-based religion and Judaism is an acts-based religion, meaning that Judaism says you sort of earned your way into heaven, right? You earn your way toward a better life. And Christianity says, if you believe right, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe, then you're good. But the truth is, and I want to stop there for a second. I mean, Ben Shapiro knows what the gospel is. And I heard in another part of the interview, he's making it abundantly clear, hey, the big difference between Judaism and Christianity is their doctrine on who Christ is. One blasphemes Christ, one hates on Christ, and the other one accepts him as their precious Savior. That's a huge difference. But he also recognizes that even the salvation plan is a major difference. One is a grace-based salvation, and the other is an acts-based salvation, a works-based salvation. He knocked it out of the park as far as what's the truth, but here's the problem. He rejects the truth. It's not like when the Apostle Paul was preaching to the Jews in the book of Acts, they weren't understanding what he was saying. The reason they got mad at him is because they understood what he was saying. You know, it's not like there's people out there that can't figure out what the gospel message is. It's that there's some people that just literally reject it. And I think some people get confused on this. There are atheists. There are people out there that can tell you exactly what the Bible says on salvation. They just don't believe it. And they don't want to believe it. And, you know, it's our goal to go out and make sure those that are ignorant have a chance. Those that are in the, you know, basically in rebellion to the Lord, we can preach the gospel to them, educate them, give an opportunity. But, you know, someone that's already gotten the opportunity, they've already heard it. What more can I give them? You know, it's not like my personal testimony is going to win somebody to the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to win them. That's why the Bible teaches that someone hearing it over and over and over and rejecting, rejecting, rejecting can get to a point where God rejects them. Because he doesn't like giving them so much truth and just so much on a silver platter, and they just keep knocking it over. They just keep spilling it on the ground. They just keep wasting that opportunity. God will eventually tire out, and His mercy, his grace will run out. Now, this is what's interesting, though, when it comes to the Jews, is they don't, even though they understand that the truth is salvation by grace and that they don't believe that, they still have an ecumenical style where they try to Judaize Christianity and they try to bring Christianity onto their team and try to confuse people. Like Ben Shapiro, because then he even says this, but the truth is that Christianity sort of backdoors the Judaic view by saying, if you really do believe, then you're going to act in these particular ways that demonstrate your belief. So what Ben Shapiro is saying is, well, even though I believe in works salvation, most of Christianity also believes in works salvation, which is also sad because he knocked that one out of the park again. Most Christianity doesn't even believe salvation by faith. They have this back door, and he was making fun of Calvinists, which I like that part. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to make sure that we're making a real sharp divide on salvation by faith. Because it's not like, well, okay, you're not a Jew, you're my brother. No, 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 no. Do you believe salvation by faith? Then I'll decide if you're my brother. If you don't even believe Jesus is the Christ, you're definitely not my brother. But then we see that these antichrists, what they like to do is they like to try and draw a lot of Christians onto their team, draw them on their side, and teach a works-based salvation. Because for them, as long as you go to hell, they don't care. Only thing the devil wants you to do is go to hell. He doesn't care if you were the greatest Catholic to ever live, as long as you go to hell, Mother Teresa. It doesn't matter if you were the most religious person, if you were the most devout Church of Christ, you were the most faithful Methodist. It doesn't matter if you were the smartest Calvinist, which isn't saying much, but I'm just giving, you know, maybe you were the smartest of that group, which isn't hard, okay? But going to hell is the devil's goal for these people. And so he's going to Judaize them. And look, it's not a new thing. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men, which came down from Judea, a.k.a. Jews, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Notice the Judaizing happening in Acts chapter number 15. And it's no different today that the Jesus-denying synagogue of Satan wants to also bring in work salvation through the back door and try to damn as many people as possible. This is why they are the synagogue of Satan. And of course, the devil tries to transform himself into a minister of light. The devil is a cunning beast of the field. So he always wants to mix in a little bit of truth. Of course, it's great to follow the commandments. Of course, we should try to live out our faith. But here's the problem. If you're trusting in your works to go to heaven, you'll never make it. Right. Salvation is a free gift by faith. And this is why we want nothing to do with the synagogue of Satan. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Go back a little bit further. Acts chapter number 2. You know, these guys are liars according to the Bible. I didn't even have to say it. The Bible told us. They do lie. And their religion is full of lies. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on the Word of God. Judaism is not, even though a lot of people say that it's based on the Bible, it's not. They'll say they're Jews, but they're not. They'll say they're righteous, but they're not. Everything they say virtually is a lie. It's all a facade. It's all fake. And if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. There is nothing to have. There is nothing to inherit. There is no blessing. My second point this evening of why we should avoid the synagogue of Satan or who they are when we identify them is number two is that they're evil. They are evil. Now, the word evil in your Bible is a complex word. Because it can be used in a couple different contexts. One we typically think of as being sinful or bad. But a lot of times the word evil in your Bible simply means harm. It's synonymous with the idea of causing some kind of harm, destruction, something bad's happening to you. And that's really the definition I'm giving it to, is that they cause evil. The Jews cause evil. The Jews are Jesus denying, but they also cause evil. They cause harm. They cause destruction. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Did we forget who killed Jesus? I mean, if we're going to talk about someone causing the worst evil, the worst destruction known to man, wouldn't it be crucifying our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came unto them and preached them the good news, the one who gave them all kinds of miracles? He healed all of their sicknesses, all of their infirmities. He fed them with all kinds of miracle bread. He preached them the Bible. He loved on them. He ministered unto them. I mean, he was working night and day just to go, and he visited virtually all the towns and all the villages and saw all the people. And he wasn't going on some glory trip. He never even tried to get any recognition. He told people not to talk about him. Very humble, he came in the form of a servant, as the Bible describes him. And they took him and they crucified him. They beat him. They lied about him. They spit upon him. Not only this, not only are they beating him and crucifying him, they mocked him while doing it. Mocking the Lord and Savior. These are the people causing the evil on the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are in the religion of Judaism, the Jews. Now, not every Jew did that. The disciples were Jews, some of them, and they didn't. Some Jews believed, and they didn't. Joseph of Arimathea, he wasn't a part of that group. So what group are we talking about? We're not talking about a physical group. We're talking about a spiritual group, the group that would be of the religion of Judaism today. And that group is a synagogue of Satan, and they all rallied around the Lord Jesus Christ and caused him to be killed through the hands of the Romans. Of course, these cowards typically never do anything themselves. They always get someone else to do it for them. But let me tell you something. They are the source of the evil. They are the source of the harm and the destruction happening in this world, and especially towards God's people. Go if you would to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The synagogue of Satan, of course, if there's a foe to the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be the devil. And of course, if there's the devil as a foe to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's he going to attack? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's already done that, and Jesus already ascended to heaven. So who's the next best target? His followers, his disciples. And we see this wasn't even a one-time thing. Before Jesus Christ, the Jews were attacking the prophets, persecuting the prophets, killing and slaying the prophets of God. And, you know, not everybody felt that way. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah traveled throughout the entire world, under the ends of the world. And he had the most negative message. He simply came in and just said, hey, drink this cup, which is representing God's wrath. And if you don't drink it, he's going to make you drink it anyways. So you're basically damned or damned. I mean, you're basically just going to have to submit yourself to Nebuchadnezzar, or you're going to be destroyed, is his message. And they didn't kill him. They didn't. I don't remember them throwing him in the dung pit. Who did that? The Jews. Those in Jerusalem. They're the ones that attacked him. They're the ones that assaulted him. They're the ones that did all kinds of evil against Jeremiah. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Amen. How many churches are getting up and reading this? Or are they saying, all right, now let's all pledge allegiance to the Israel flag. Let's all pass the money plate again, and we're going to give a special donation to rebuilding the temple. Why don't they call it the synagogue of Satan while they're at it? Hey, let's go ahead and rebuild the Antichrist monument. Let's go ahead and just bring him in as soon as possible. I mean, that is what so many Christians are doing. Instead of reading 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, they get up and just have some kind of a campaign for donations to Israel, to the Jews, Or they even have Jewish services. There's a big church in my area called Gateway, and they have like messianic services or whatever, where they come blow shofars and, you know, do all kinds of Judaizing during the service, which is fine because both parties believe in work salvation. So for them, it doesn't really matter. But you know what? They're not reading 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They're not getting up and saying, hey, these people are displeasing. They're contrary to all men. That's a few people. I wonder why there's so much laws on the books and countries these days to try and prevent discrimination against the Jews. It's because it's natural. You know, they don't have to make laws, and you know, they typically don't have to make laws against stuff that people don't have any problem doing. You know, like, thou shalt not eat celery. You know, the things that are really difficult, you know, thou shalt not enjoy In-N-Out fries. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you a joke, all right. Their burgers are good, okay? It's better than Whataburger, all right? And that's coming from a Texan, okay? But let me tell you something. These Jews, they don't want Christians to get saved. That was the whole goal, didn't it say? Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, they might be saved. What's the whole purpose and motivation for them attacking these people, hurting these people, so that people won't get saved? And, you know, there's a lot of people that dislike Verity Baptist Church, dislike other like-minded churches, and let me tell you why they don't like them. Soul winning. And you say, oh, but it's, no, Pastor, so you don't get it. The clip that they aired on the news was about, you know, fags or something. Yeah, they don't really care about that. They hate fags too. Everyone hates fags. They just use that as a pretext to attack a soul-winning church.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know what? They don't really care if you hate fags. Because have you ever heard of a religion called Islam? They throw fags off of buildings. To my knowledge, a new IFB church has never thrown a fag off a building. And here's the truth, though. Why is it then that they attack us and not them? Soul winning. They're forbidding the Gentiles from hearing the gospel. And then they have whole organizations dedicated to destroying these institutions because they don't want you to go out and preach the gospel. Like the Anti-Defamation League. And they're, of course, every single thing the Jews say is the exact opposite of what they are, right? They say they're Jews, synagogue of Satan. They say they are, you know, righteous, they're wicked. They say that they're going to be against defamation, but then that's all they do is just defame us and lie about us and slander us constantly. It's like the pro-defamation league, really. But I looked at their website, and they have like a little section about like what we do or about us or something like that. And they want to tell us like their goals and like what they're striving for. And they have like these big bullet points of what they're trying to do. And they have a couple here. One is they want to litigate. They love to sue people. It says, we join with like-minded groups to file federal lawsuits holding violent groups and individuals accountable for extremist activity. Oh, they want to go after extremists. Now they also, so you understand who they're talking about us. Because we're just so extreme for believing the Bible. But here's the reality. We're not extreme. They're extreme. It's not extreme to think that men are men. What's extreme is to think that there's 58 genders. That's extreme. And they can't even label all of them. They don't even know what they are. It's extreme for students to be going to the public school system today and to tell their teachers that they're a cat and demanding a litter box be brought in so they can use the bathroom. That's serious. Meow. I'm extreme for thinking that a child's not a cat. Yeah. That's the world that we live in. It's so upside down. We are extreme for not thinking a dude putting on a dress and calling himself a lady is somehow, wrong. Somehow wicked. Somehow bizarre. That's not extreme. What they're doing is extreme. Don't let them, everything they accuse you of is really just a projection of who they are. They are the real extremists. We're what you call normal. Amen. The more you're like the Bible, the more normal you are. The less like the Bible you are, the more extreme you are. Okay, and I've been preaching a whole series on extremism. There's always extremes on both sides, on both ends of the spectrum. Christianity's never found there. Christianity's always in the middle when it comes to social issues, when it comes to these type of things. You know, false religion always tries to pervert things, and so it goes in both directions, but really Christianity is always found being true. It's always normal. It's always that which is right. But in this ADL website, they have a whole dedication to the new IFB. It says the new IFB has affiliated conferences, including the annual Red Hot Preaching Conference, featuring anti-LGBTQ and anti-Semitic seminars. Amen. That's right. It's called the Synagogue of Satan.
That's right.
But they should have said, hey, the Bible says that too. Yeah. Oh, you're so extreme for preaching the Bible. No, you're extreme for not believing it.
Amen.
Now, they want to sue us for believing the Bible. Not only that, they want to advocate. It says that ADL advocates for policies to counter the surge of violent domestic extremism. Oh, when are they going to investigate Antifa?
Yeah, that's right.
BLM.
Yeah, that's right.
When are they going to investigate this extremism that's going around and just ravaging cities, ravaging streets, ravaging citizens, cops doing nothing about it? That sounds like a pretty domestic terrorist group. But no, they want to stop, you know, women and children from entering into a building and hearing the Bible being preached. Oh, the horror! You know, peaceful Christians going into a building just wanting to hear the Bible being preached. That's the domestic terrorism that they're so afraid of. You know why they're afraid of that? Because they're afraid that you'll hear the truth and realize the predators and the wicked, evil people these synagogue of Satan Jews are. That's why they're afraid. You know, they're afraid that we're going to tell the truth about them. Now, they also said that we've announced a 7-point protect plan. So they have a whole 7-point plan about how they're going to stop extremism. They're also going to assist law enforcement because they love to get the Romans on their side, as evidenced by all of history. It says, we share our resources with and expertise on extremism with law enforcement, partnering with authorities to assess and mitigate threats in both the physical and online environments. Why do you think all these police cruisers are turning into a rainbow ship? A rainbow cruise, you know, cruise control. I mean, it's sick. It's gross. Because they're trying to get in the ear of the law enforcement. And, of course, the defund police movement has scared every cop into doing their bidding for them. Because they think, well, if I don't do what they want, they're going to fire me, basically. Through public policy or through public opinion or through whatever. Not only that, they say they're going to monitor, research, and analyze. Our staff of investigators, analysts, researchers, and technical experts are the foremost non-governmental authorities on domestic and terrorist extremism. Their work is highlighted in reports, blog posts, and backgrounders on extremist groups, trends, and activities. You know, all this is just an attempt to stop soul winning, though, my friend. And, of course, anytime groups attack our churches, that is one of their main goals, is to stop us from going from door to door and preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel. And of course, you know, it's frustrating. We have family members and friends and other Christians saying, like, oh, why don't you preach the, you know, that, why'd you preach that part of the Bible or something like that? And they don't care that soul winning is getting shut down or that people are getting banned from countries where gospel mission trips were scheduled. They don't care that people aren't getting saved. I mean, who cares what your views are on end times eschatology when we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. We're talking about soul-winning churches.
Amen.
You know, my criterion for a church is that they have the gospel right and they got a King James Bible and they're pro-soul-winning. I mean, that's been pretty much the new IFB policy. Most of me and my friends, we're real liberal when it comes to who our friends could be, and these people are not. These people want to talk about how they're so much more loving and kind, yet they reject us and nitpick us to death. Oh, why do you have to preach against the Jews? Why do you have to preach against Israel? I mean, even if I was 100% wrong on that issue, who cares? When it comes to soul winning, why would I want any soul winning church to stop for any kind of a secondary doctrinal issue? Why would I say, hey, you know what, this church is pre-trib and soul winning, shut them down. No. I hope they keep preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I hope they get everyone saved. I don't care if they're all pre-trib. They'll figure it out pretty soon. And I don't even know how the pre-trib, I mean, I've noticed that most pre-trib churches are getting real thin pretty quick. Because I think that the congregation's sitting there thinking like, what is tribulation? Because it feels like some stuff's happening. I mean, I don't even know how you could have a pre-trib church outside of America. I mean, if you know anything about what's going on in other countries in this world, about the persecution and the evil that's happening to people across this world, I mean, it'd be so hard to sell the idea that there's no tribulation, that people aren't suffering for the cause of Christ. I mean, there's so many countries where it's illegal to be a Christian, where they're under the threat of death every single day, where Christians are dying every single day. I mean, can you imagine, hey, my husband or my spouse just died, my wife, my son, my cousin, they just died due to some Islam terrorist or whatever, killed them for being a Christian. Oh, well, actually, it's pre-trib. What? What do you I mean, the pre-trib is such a narrowly focused, you know what it's focused on? Their 401k. That's like the only thing it's focused on. It's like focused on their money. And of course, when you have this stupid pre-trib doctrine, you know what comes with it? Zionism. And this stupid worship of the Jews. But how can you ignore what the Jews are doing to Christians? How can you ignore all these attacks on soul winning? How can you ignore the ADL? And Christians will literally share these articles and say like, oh, I don't like this church. Did you hear what the ADL had to say about them? What, a bunch of liars? A bunch of antichrists? You know, synagogue of Satan? Devil worshipers? Why would I ever cite them against a Christian for any reason? Oh, I saw you're a hate group according to a bunch of Jews. Well, I hope so. Did they not hear the sermon? I'll send them a copy. But, you know, they also say on their site it's really important that they defend that the 2020 election wasn't stolen. I'm trying to make sure this sermon can't be on YouTube, okay? Why is it so important that they make sure that the 2020 election was not considered stolen? I'll give you a couple reasons. Janet Yellen, Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, Avril Haines, Ron Klain, Anthony Blinken, Wendy Sherman, Victoria Nuland, Eric Lander, David Cohen. Oh, that was just all Jews that Biden put in his cabinet. I wonder why a bunch of Jews that just happened to get into our government through Biden want to make sure that nobody believes that it was a fraudulent election. Because it was a fraudulent election. And you say, I wonder who's behind that. China? Russia? Jews. That's who was behind it. You know, you always have to look at the motive. You always have to look at the victor of a situation. Who's the victor of a situation? How about 9/11? Now think about it. Think if you had this like enemy at your doorstep that was constantly fighting you and you're not as well equipped or have as many resources, if you could just get someone else to come in and just fight them for you for like decades. I don't know, how about like Israel getting America to go and just knock out all these Islamicists and fight all these Muslim countries for them so they don't even have to? And then of course on their site they say we have to fight against, you know, 9/11 truthers. Why? Why are they so against these things? Because they're the ones behind it. Now, I can't prove this, but I even heard that a lot of Jews didn't show up at the Twin Towers on 9/11. I wonder why. Maybe that should be investigated. You know, it used to be on YouTube that you could find all kinds of stuff about 9/11. Building 7. I mean, in fact, that was probably like the top results. I mean, you look for any video, cat video, and the next one's like Building 7. You're just like, cats on Building 7, you know. Cats like knocking it over because they knock everything off of tables or whatever. It's like a plane hits and the cat's like, you know. But then you get people like Susan Wojcicki, a Jew, to be the CEO of YouTube, gone. And you know what also goes down? A bunch of soul-winning church videos. A bunch of YouTube channels that are reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder if that's a coincidence. I mean, what can't be on YouTube? COVID, election, soul-winning churches, truth about Jews, Holocaust deniers, which I don't think anybody denies that the there was something that happened, like Jews died. It's just like, was there really 6 million? Why is it an exact number? Why does it start with a 6? I wonder if there's any coincidences here. You know, there's another person that's in charge of a big company, Apple, CEO, that guy's a fag. Larry Page, who was the founder of Google, Jew. Mark Zuckerberg, Jew. Man, it seems like there's all these platforms I can't be on. And there's like this weird connection with them being a Jewish platform. I wonder why. I wonder who's shaping the narrative. And they're from Poland. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter 17 in your Bible. Look, I'm telling you, the reason why we're getting censored is not because we're against fags. Obviously, that's, their excuse. Hate speech. But I'll tell you why. It's because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, anybody that's a freak and a weirdo, they promote those people. I mean, they promote Westboro Baptist. They're not going to censor Westboro Baptist. They want that to be on, every single video to show how weird and cult-like they are. But a group of normal people believing that, well, we better shut that down fast. We better get rid of them really quickly because they're making a big difference. So not only are the Jews Jesus denying, not only are the Jews evil, but here's the third point, they're wicked. They're wicked. They don't base their beliefs on the Bible. They base it on the Babylonian Talmud, which it started out bad with the word Babylon in it. Babylonian Talmud. Why would I want to have any religion that has anything to do with Babylon? That's always a false religion. In the Talmud, and again, I haven't read a lot of the Talmud, praise the Lord. I still think that the Quran's the worst literature ever, but The Babylonian Talmud or the Talmud is more wicked and it's more perverted and it's so gross. I'm not even going to repeat anything I read because it was just so horrible. But I'll just give you, just the baseline concepts. I mean, they're teaching that the age of consent should be 3 years old in one day. I mean, you want to know where the age of consent being lowered to, where the Jewish standard is, 3 years old in one day. And they are way more graphic about that than I would ever hope that. I can't believe someone wrote it down. It's so sick and disgusting and depraved and filthy. And that's not even the worst. They not only that, they have a ritual called Mezitza Bepa. I don't know if I said it or I don't care. I meant to go one more place. Keep your finger in Acts 17. If you're going there, go to Leviticus 17 too. Go to Leviticus 17. And in this ritual, they drink blood. Now, not only do they drink blood, they drink human blood. These people believe in cannibalism. They believe in drinking human blood. Not just human blood, not any kind, baby human blood. I'm just telling you what their book says. Now, Leviticus 17, look what it says in verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. These disgusting freaks have a ritual where they eat baby blood, perform a sodomite, pedophile-type act. And it's even caused it where New York City has written whole articles against this and said it's a public health crisis because they're literally giving babies herpes through the process. You can go to New York Gov, like nyc.gov, and they have a big deal about this. And this, just a small excerpt from the government website. Public health experts have found that the Mezitza Bepa, or whatever, can put babies at risk of getting a harmful virus called herpes simplex virus type 1 or HSV1. Some of these babies became seriously ill, some developed brain damage, and others have died. This is Judaism for you. Where is that in the Bible? I mean, I went to one place. There is scores of scriptures that talk about drinking blood as being wicked and sinful and evil. Why would you ever do that? And typically it's bringing up animal blood because I guess he was like thinking no one will drink human blood. But of course you can't really think that the Jews wouldn't do anything. I mean, at the point that you're going to commit pedophile acts and drink human blood, where will you stop? And what would be categorized as being more satanic than that? I mean, anybody that knows anything about Satanism or satanic cults, they're all about blood and babies and pedophile acts. That's all they're about. And that's what the literal Talmud has in their disgusting, filthy book written down. Go, if you would, to Acts 17. Go to Acts chapter number 17. And like I said, I don't even recommend reading it or looking it up, but it's still important that we just at least announce the fact that these people have pedophilia in their book. They have drinking blood in their book. They do this. I saw a conference of Jews or politicians running in New York for like some office, and they were bringing up the statue, and a bunch of Jews were like, "You're not going to put restrictions on us for this, are you?" And I'm thinking, how disgusting, in a public forum, I mean, you're going out there publicly advocating for these blood pedophile rituals, and then they say that we're extreme. Think about that. The ADL is going after extremists. That's not extreme. Of course, if we actually went out there and made headlines, I mean, if the New York Times had a headline, "Hey, Jews are drinking baby blood and committing pedophile acts and giving them STDs, you don't think people would be like, "You know what? I don't really like the Jews very much anymore." It'd be pretty hard for that Christian to go to that Zionist church and put $200 in the offering plate for Israel. When he read that headline, thinking like, what am I supporting exactly here? What am I donating to? Look at Acts chapter 17 and look at verse number 2. Let's see the wickedness of the Jews. Verse 2, it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren and the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" Oh, there's a new IFB church in my area now, too. Oh, these guys are having a missions trip over here now, too. And you know what? It's no new thing under the sun where they just follow you around and get everybody mad at you. "Hey, everybody, look, there's a church over here that believes the Bible. Hey, everybody, there's a group of people over here that want to get people saved." And notice why? Because they're envious. They're envious because people are drawn to the truth. They're envious because we're normal. They're envious because God actually loves us. They're envious because we're not freaks like them. They're envious because we don't have the same depraved mind like them. They're envious of all of our children that we didn't flush down the toilet through satanic principles or practices, birth control, abortion, and all these evil practices they perform. They're so envious of us today, and that's why they hate us today, and that's why they follow us around and cause all kinds of evil. And notice they never do it themselves, do they? They had the Romans do it, and then who do they do in this chapter? Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Right. Now, I happen to know a group that's like that. They show up at my church every service. Yeah. And they are of the basest sort. I mean, you can't get lower. And look, the lowest of the low, everyone's always known it's a faggot. That is the epitome. That is the bottom of the barrel. You can't get any worse than that. And there is a weird alliance between Jews and fags. Go over to Romans chapter 1. In fact, Benjamin had a bad habit of defending them in the Old Testament. The sons of Belial commit horrible atrocities. They commit all kinds of egregious acts that are known to everyone. And then you have a bunch of Jews, so-called Benjamites, going out there and defending it. And you say, "Oh, Benjamin's not of the tribe of Judah." Yeah, but he's of the religion of Judaism, apparently. A wicked, false religion. Because they're the spiritual descendants of these people So if you're the spiritual descendants of the same faith, and their faith is in the devil. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice why God gets so mad is because they're changing the truth of God into a lie. They blaspheme who Jesus is. They reject the word of God. Anything that's true. Hey, men aren't men anymore. Women aren't women anymore. There's no sanctity. There's no marriage. There's no anything that has any kind of value, any kind of truth. They're just attacking every kind of institution, every kind of organization, because they just hate the truth. They try to change all of it into a lie. And it makes them reprobate often themselves, but they also have a close alliance with reprobates. What it says in verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. The reason why Jews and fags are so good buddies is because they both hate the truth so much. Often it's the same person, but sometimes it's not, and they have an alliance on hating the truth. Now, I thought about this, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to look up what cities in the world have the biggest Jewish population. Number one city is New York. 13% of its population is Jewish. 1.1 million Jews in New York. So then I looked up the number one population of fags in the world, and it was New York City. That was like a weird coincidence, right? So then I looked at the second largest, Los Angeles, in population of Jews. 17.5% of Los Angeles is Jewish. The second most populated of LGBT, Los Angeles. Ding, 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 we have a winner. Now, Jewish population, my statistics are of the whole world. So I'm going to skip the third one for a second, okay? It's not a U.S. city. The other list I have is comparing U.S. cities, okay? But if you go a little bit further down the list, you have San Francisco. It's number 4 on the highest list of sodomites. The next one is Chicago. It's number 3 of sodomites. You look at the next one, it's Boston. It's number 9. So every U.S. city except for Miami, according to Jewish population statistics, is a direct correlation to the top 10 of faggots. Now, in my list, it also had other countries. So it had the number 3 population of Jews is Jerusalem. Well, that doesn't sound surprising. Number 5 was Tel Aviv. Now, according to this article, it says that of Jerusalem, 64% of its population is Jewish. And if you look at Tel Aviv, 91% of its population is Jewish. So I looked up just them, you know, independently, and apparently Tel Aviv, according to many articles, is the number one country in the world for fags. Tel Aviv supposedly has 25% homosexual population. It's considered the gayest country in the world, but they're not happy. They're not happy at all. And they pretend to be righteous, but they're the most wicked, evil places on the planet. And then you see all of our presidents going and bowing at their wall. That's weird. That's interesting. Trump. Donald Trump. The only president, apparently, to have ever gone to the Wailing Wall during his active presidency. Whose son-in-law, Jared Kushner, a Jew, and his daughter, Ivanka, also going and visiting the wall. Well, if we just get Trump back in office, you know, that'll really help things. Oh, the guy that says he has no problem with Pete Buttigieg being an open sodomite faggot with his husband and saying Caitlyn Jenner, a tranny, can go and use whatever bathroom she wants or it wants or whatever you want to call it. They, it's probably more accurate with all the demons inside. But, you know, I also thought another thing that's interesting about all these cities, isn't this just all the beacons of wealth? I mean, what is the richest cities in the world? New York, L.A., Israel. So I noticed that you find these three things, money, Jews, and fags, all in the same areas. Just like Sodom went to the well-watered plain and Lot went to, and that's what you end up finding. New York, San Francisco, L.A., D.C. In fact, San Francisco has got to be the most expensive place when it comes to housing and all kinds of different factors. And that is one of the most openly known Sodomite communities. Why? It's because of the Jewish influence. The Jews bringing in lies and deception, you know, it has a result of that? Sodomites. Because notice Romans 1 already told us they changed the truth of God into a lie. So when you have a religion that's pumping out, changing the truth of God into a lie, you know what's going to be the consequence of that? Sodomites, fags, everywhere. It's not a surprise that the most Jewish areas are the most filled with sodomites, the most filled with fags. That's why it's important to get that out and to preach against it. And to say, hey, you know, I don't want a bunch of Judaism coming into my church. Because the more Judaism you bring into church, you know you're going to probably produce reprobates. You're going to become a reprobate factory. And you know what? I guarantee a lot of these old IFB churches that are just so pro-Zionist, they're going to be more likely to produce a reprobate than any other of these other fundamental Baptist churches. Because you bring in lies, you bring in deception, you bring in the synagogue of Satan, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. Go to Matthew 23. Go to Matthew 23. Look, the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't know if I have to tell you this one. Jews like money. I mean, they were thrown out of so many countries for clipping coins. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but it's literally money used to be real back in way before we were, you know, kids and stuff. Before anybody was alive, money used to be real. It wasn't just monopoly money. And so money was like a gold coin or was like a silver coin. It actually had a tangible value associated with it. And so what the Jews would do is they would come and just kind of shave some of that gold off of that coin. And then they would just give it to somebody else. It's the unjust weights that we see mentioned constantly in the Bible. But here's the thing. When you shave a little bit off of hundreds and hundreds of coins, then you melt it down and then you get a new coin out of it. So instead of actually going and having an honest job or honest day's labor, what they do is they just clip coins. Now, there's no new thing under the sun. Today, they become even more crafty. They don't have to do that. It's called inflation. And you know what inflation does? It just clips your dollar a little bit. It just shaves your dollar a little bit. They just print a little bit more. And look, by printing more, it's the exact same concept as clipping coins. Because if you have 10 coins, and then you shave off all 10 and you produce another one, what's that called? An 11th coin. So if you have $10 bills and then you print another dollar bill, inflation. Okay? It's the exact same practices. Who's in charge of the Federal Reserve for virtually decades? Jews. I mean, it's not rocket science here. These are just things that you're not allowed to say. But you know what? I'm saying them, so. Because I can get y'all's new YouTube channel nuked or something, okay? I can't have one. Matthew 23, look at verse 27. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unwhited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" That's what Jesus really sounded like. Not this long-haired hippie going around feeding homeless people. No, no, no. He was ripping on Jews. He was ripping on Jews so much they tried to kill him every chance they got. They were constantly leading him out on the edge, trying to throw him off cliffs. They were trying to constantly pay money and bribes to try and get people to deceive him. He had to constantly hide himself. He had to walk through the byways just to go to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I'm sorry, to go to the festival. You know, he couldn't even show up in a normal manner. He couldn't tell people where he's going. Airbnb canceled him. You know? I mean, every single, you know, it started that way. In Bethlehem, no one would take him in. And you know, it ended that way. No one would take him in. You know, they hated him because he was preaching the truth. Say, be like Jesus. Okay, well, I should get a lot of Jews mad at me then.
Amen.
Well, no Jews hate me. It doesn't sound like you're like Jesus. Because they still hate Jesus. That's what Sarah Silverman said. She said she would kill him again. Wicked, evil person. They're Jesus-denying, evil-causing, wicked-spreading Satanists. Point one is they're Jesus-denizing. Point two, they're evil-causing. Point three, they're wicked-spreading. And point four, they're Satanists, which you can remember, Jews. See, I can't remember how, you know, who the synagogue of Satan is. It's Jews. Jesus-denying, evil-causing, wicked spreading Satanists. That's who the synagogue of Satan is. Go to John chapter 8. Go to John chapter number 8. I want you to remember the sermon, okay? And I don't have to rip up a Bible for you to remember, okay? That's what the Jews want to do. But they put attack on the authority of the Bible. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And of course, what was the Satan's first trick? To put shade on the Bible. To put shade on the Word of God. And that's what Jews do. They don't believe in any of the Bible. They put shade on every story of the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Notice who the real violent ones are. It wasn't Jesus feeding people. It wasn't Jesus healing people. It wasn't Jesus ministering and preaching the gospel. It wasn't Jesus getting on his knees and washing people's feet. It wasn't Jesus going out in the wilderness and praying. It wasn't Jesus loving on people that was violent. It was the Jews seeking to kill him that was violent.
Right.
Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Notice that the synagogue of Satan is full of lies. And we notice that the world that we live in today is full of lies. Go if you would to 1 John 2. This is the last place I'm going to return this evening. Look, the media is full of lies, and let me tell you why. It's because it's run by the Jews. YouTube and Google and these big tech platforms, Facebook, are run by Jews, and they hate the truth. Their fact checkers are the biggest joke we've ever seen. They haven't ever checked any facts. All they do is discredit facts. That is the literal job of those people, is to try and stop truth from getting out. I mean, have they even censored one flat earth article? I mean, you're a fact checker. I mean, I've seen so much garbage on the flat earth out there, and I never see it censored. I mean, if I was going to say, hey, let's censor some lies. It's like, can't we all agree that the flat earth is the dumbest thing on the planet? Can't we all agree that Elvis is not still living? Can't we all agree that Bigfoot, you know, is not a real thing? I mean, why is it, you know, that the real conspiracies that are fake, in the sense that the ones that we all know are a sham, that are just stupid and garbage, why do they just go and run full course? No problem. Nobody has any issue with them. But then it's like JFK, take that down. 9/11, take that down. A lot of these school shootings, take those down. Vegas shooting, take that down. New Ivy preaching, take that down. I feel like I'm in good company. But here's the problem. Here's an application. You say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, good. And I mean that from a religious perspective. If you're a physical Jew, I don't care. That's great. As long as you're not of the Judaism religion. And you know what? I'm sitting and looking at a bunch of Jews because you're all a bunch of spiritual Jews, whether you like it or not. Yeah. We're all Jewish. But we're not preaching against spiritual Jews. We're preaching against physical Jews. Look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Now, I've thought about this verse a lot this week. And you know what that word, that like phrase sounds like to me? Hate speech. Love not. You know what's not loving? Hate. You notice that the Bible's saying for you to hate something? The world. You're not supposed to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I've never seen more of a spirit of Antichrist than 2022 America. I mean, I literally have protesters coming at my church with shirts saying, F the Bible. And just every profanity you could imagine against God, Jesus Christ, the Bible. I get voicemails all the time, not saying kill Steadfast, kill every Christian. I hate the Bible. You know, the Bible warns that at the point when we get near the end, there's going to be a visceral reaction towards the Word of God, towards the things of God. There's going to be many antichrists. And it's coming from this synagogue of Satan. And we're not supposed to love that world. We're not supposed to attach ourselves to that world. We're supposed to separate ourselves from that world. We're supposed to go to church on Sunday morning. We're supposed to go to church on Sunday night. We're supposed to go to church on Wednesday night. We're supposed to go soul winning. We're supposed to get baptized. We're supposed to read our Bible. We're not supposed to go and watch the latest synagogue and Satan Hollywood movie. We're not supposed to love that. You know, the devil has got the same tricks. You know what he did to Eve? He allured through pride because she wanted to be wise. He allured her through the lust of the flesh because she wanted to eat of the forbidden fruit. And he appealed through the lust of the eyes because it looked good. All three of the same elements that we see with Eve are happening with mankind right now. And that's what the synagogue of Satan is going to try to do to you. They're going to try to appeal to your pride, to the lust of your flesh, and the lust of your eyes. And you know how the Jews do this? Through Hollywood movies and music and all the fame and the carnality and the fornication and the wickedness that's going out there in the world. And Christians today need to say, I'm not going to be a part of it. Christianity, the non-denom churches have just gone hook, line, and sinker, and they just love Hollywood and the Bible. But you can't love both. We as fundamental Baptists need to be different and separated, not looking like the world, not acting like the world, not watching the filth of the world, not listening to the filth of the world. And if you pay attention, all of these Hollywood music videos, all of their songs, all of their movies are just full of Satanism. I mean, I've even been preaching a few series on this, but if you slow down and you just listen, I mean, every song is just rebellion to God. I mean, they just bring it up. They bring up preachers and Bible and Jesus. And I mean, think about every band name. It's like Avenged Sevenfold, Judas Priest. I mean, the band names are just so obvious Satanism. And you say, well, why are they so obvious Satanism? Because they're being promoted by the Jews that own the record label. They're being promoted by the Weinsteins and the Goldbergs of the Hollywood industry. And I don't know if you realize this, but Hollywood's full of Jews. I don't even have a full list, but I was just like, it was like, here's a list of just some people in Hollywood that are Jews. And it was like 250. And it's like, but we have hundreds more. In fact, there's a website, it's called like A Jew or Not. And it's like, you just put someone's name in and it tells you if they're a Jew or not. And it's like a trick, because there's just always a Jew. It's like... It's like this Hollywood celebrity, and you're like thinking, nah, ah, you know. Like, it's crazy. I'll give you a list. Here's some people that are Jews in Hollywood. Mila Kunis, Daniel Radcliffe, Adam Sandler, Natalie Portman, Jake Gyllenhaal, disgusting faggot, Scarlett Johansson, Seth Rogen, Joaquin Phoenix, Jack Black, Rashida Jones, Harrison Ford, Ben Stiller, Gwyneth Paltrow, Shia LaBeouf, Adrian Brody, Lisa Kudrow, Kate Hudson, Sarah Silverman, Jennifer Connelly, Jeff Goldblum, that's a shock, Maya Rudolph, Paul Rudd, Zach Braff, David Schwimmer, Sean Penn, Dustin Hoffman, Winona Ryder, Sacha Baron Cohen, Seth Green, that's interesting, Ashley Tisdale, Andy Samberg, Jonah Hill, Logan Lerman, Andrew Garfield, Emma Rossum, Woody Allen, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Amanda Peet, Jason Siege, Adam Brody, Sarah Jessica Parker, what an ugly Jew. How, you know, it's like all these girls are like attractive. How is she in film? Because she's not even attractive. Paula Abdul, Diana Aragon, Michelle Trachtenberg, Amanda Bynes, Matthew Broderick, David Arquette, Idina Menzel, Gina Gershon, Ben Foste, Judd Apatow. Sorry, I'm just giving you what you did on Friday and Saturday and through all of your youth. Jason Alexander, there's your Seinfeld crowd. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, David Schwimmer, Richard Dreyfus, Matthew Broderick, Peter Sellers, Larry David, Leonard Cohen, Stanley Kubrick, Albert Einstein, he's just thrown in there, Allen Ginsberg, Harvey Kittel, Andrew Garfield, Winona Ryder, Sarah, I guess some of these repeated, Stan Lee, Drake. What? That's the one you pull up, you're like, Drake, no. What? Eli Wallach, Zac Efron, Barbara Streisand, Gene Wilder, Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas, Kate Hudson, Simon Cowell, Adam Levine, Jesse Eisenberg, the guy, you have got Mark Zuckerberg, and then you got the guy that played Mark Zuckerberg, both Jews, Emil Hirsch, Ben Foster, the list goes on and on. Billy Joel, Pink, Gene Simmons, Lenny Kravitz. Again, how is he a Jew? Because I'll tell you what, it's a religion, my friend. Isn't it interesting that you have this one religion that just dominates an entire industry? Film and music. And look, there's nothing wrong with a movie. There's nothing wrong with music. What's wrong is the fact that Hollywood seems to be our only alternative. Why are all these Christians just force-feeding all our money to these freaks? Anybody that goes sees Lightyear is a brain-dead idiot. You're basically just saying, I want my kids to turn out to be a sodomite and a freak and a weirdo. You know what? God's people should be different. How can you sit here and read the Bible about the synagogue of Satan and then just say, well, let me go down to their little institution, the movie theater, and give them all my money and then buy all their DVDs and then listen to their music 24/7. And then I'm shocked that my children turn out to be reprobates. Because I didn't take them to church, but I took them to the synagogue of Satan every single night, every single week, every single moment of their lives. I just let them listen to this filth and this trash and this smut. You know, we need Baptists to get up and start thundering forth about these Jews and their wicked agenda to corrupt our youth. And to twist their minds and to pervert them. They're full of wickedness and evil, and they hate the gospel, and every ounce of their being is here to destroy Jesus, which is the Bible, which is the Word of God, which is Christianity. I'm telling you, you need to get this filth out of your life. You get this smut out of your life. And you know, one of the best ways to realize this is that you're supporting the Jews. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us warning against the real enemy that's out there. And we understand that the devil likes to try and charm us and tries to allure us through the lust of our flesh, through the pride and through the lust of our eyes. And I pray that we would not succumb to this evil temptation, to this wicked temptation, that we'd cling to the cross of Jesus Christ, that we'd get in focus things that have eternal value like the gospel, that you would help strengthen us and encourage us that there's lots of fun to be had without the evils of this sin. Of the Jews and the synagogue of Satan. I pray that you would just expose these wicked, evil people for what they are, that people would actually see the light on this subject and that they could prevent their family from going down a dark road. And I pray that you would just bless the rest of this conference and these preachers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.